We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. Dr. Jones' message is one in a series entitled Word of Truth.
You know, I think about this day or two ago, when you used to hear a fellow had been married 50 years, he wondered why he wanted to live that long. You know how young people look at life? My, what a long time. But how the years have gone by. Time flies. But you know, we got a long time to live, if we folks just realize it. You're going to live somewhere forever. Like it or not like it, you've got it to do. You might prefer to die and sleep a dreamless sleep in the silent dust, but you can't. You've got to live as long as God lives. So the most important thing in the world is to learn how to live. Learn how to live. If you don't know how to live, you're in a bad fix because you've got to live. You don't have to make a living, but you've got to live whether you make a living or not. And we're trying to put the emphasis here at Bob Jones University on that. The important thing is not to know science, not to know history, not to know language. These are all right, and you ought to learn them, and schools ought to teach them, and all that. But the important thing is to know how to live. What are you going to do with science? What are you going to do with other things? What are you going to do with your mathematics? Are you going to use it to cheat people and rob people? Are you going to use it honestly? See? Unless you know how to live, education itself can become a curse. I was thinking about how careless we are, see? How careless we are about so many things. You know, Paul wrote Timothy and told Timothy to preach the word. Preach the word. And that's not all he told him now. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. And you know, I think about how people go ahead and obey what they want to obey. They say, preach the word. Well, I'll do that, you know. But they won't do the rest of it. The other command, that reprove, rebuke, and exhort, is just as strong as a command to preach the word. I was thinking about several preachers that I know that are supposed to be conservative preachers. They're great radio ministers. They've been on the air. People know them all over the country. And they've used a Bible like you use a museum piece, you see. I go into the museum and pick up an old sword. And I say, isn't this a wonderful sword? Wonderful, isn't it? Yes, God made it. This is the sword of His Spirit. Almighty God made this sword Himself, put in you. Matthew put in this, and God told him what to put in. And Luke put in this, and Paul put in this, and so on and so on and so on, you know. I magnify that sword until I almost worship it. But then I go out and never use it as a sword. Do you know we've had a type ministry like that among conservative people in this country? They preach the word. Yes, they say this is the Bible, this is what it says, and so on and so on. But that's not all that God told people to do. He told them to preach the word. He told a preacher to reprove, rebuke, exhort. How long since you heard a sermon in America where some fellow stood up in the pulpit and reproved you for the way you were living? Reproved you for it. And rebuked you for not doing your Christian duty. How many times have you ever heard a preacher get up in the pulpit in modern times and rebuke people for not believing the Bible? And reproving people for not living up to the Word of God? You see, we're eccentric in our approach, most of us. We give certain emphasis. We don't rightly divide the Word of truth. We're to preach the Word, certainly. That's all a preacher is supposed to preach. And the Word is the Bible. That's all the Word of God we have. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. But I wouldn't know that if it wasn't in the Bible. I might look up at the stars and think there must have been a great God somewhere in the universe that made all these things. But I wouldn't know what kind of God He is if the Bible didn't tell me. The Bible tells me that He's a God of love, but that's not all it says. Said His eyes never looked upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Said He's a righteous God. See? The Bible tells us all about God, all we need to know. Now, you may not be able in your own thinking to tie all these things together. You may not be able to see how God could be a God of love and a God of justice at the same time, because you may not be trained and you may not know how to analyze it. But it's so whether you understand it or not. You don't have to understand the Bible to make the Bible true. The Bible says you can't understand it unless you're born again, and then when you become a Christian, you're a little baby. And some Christians never grow up, you know, they just stay babies. Now you take this verse of Scripture, preach the word. I've heard that quoted so many times. I'm going to give you the word now. But that's not all it says. It says reprove, rebuke. What else? Exhort. Now, you tell them what the Bible says. You rebuke them for not living up to it. You reprove them for not living up to it. Then what do? Then you turn around and exhort. See? You urge them to live up to it. Then what else? And your patience is all long-suffering and teaching. Do you know, if we just get this idea clearly in our mind, that partial obedience is disobedience. You are disobedient if you don't obey what God says to you very clearly. Now, there's some things in the Bible that are a little obscure for me. I can't fathom some of them. There's a depth of meaning there. I have a number of verses that I may, when I get to heaven, ask the Lord to explain to them. Or maybe I won't need any explanation then because I'll see more clearly and see him face to face. But things down here that people say, what does so-and-so mean? I don't know exactly what it means. But you know, if it's imperative that I know, I would know. And I know a good many verses in the Bible that I'd come across and read it and not quite understand. Then maybe years later, it all clear up to me. See? You know, the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance. But he brings to our remembrance all of these fundamental things. The Bible is just as plain as it can be on the fundamental essentials of the faith. Every Orthodox Christian in the world, wherever you go, I don't care who he is, if he's Orthodox, believes the Bible is the Word of God. See, that's the satanic attack today is on the Word of God. So every Orthodox Christian believes the Bible is the Word of God. They believe whatever it says is so. And all the Orthodox Christians believe certain definite fundamentals. There has never been anything in literature clearer than the virgin birth of Christ. A man doesn't believe in the virgin birth of Christ, he just doesn't believe the Bible. Not only is it clearly told in prophecy, but the specific details are given. The minute details of the birth of Jesus Christ, it's clear as day, you see. All right? Now, there isn't any question what it says about it. It's a question whether people believe it. Somebody say, well, I don't believe that. That's not according to the laws of nature. Who's the God of nature? Who is the author of nature? Who's the author of the supernatural? Right? Listen just a minute. How strange people act and what they think about the thing. Fellows told me one time about miracles. We were sitting there talking, and I just read an article, how the Lord changed water to wine. And somebody said, that's not right. Well, somebody spoke up and said, God Almighty gave us grapevines. And has a root and covers out up on the place where it grows up there. And it gets up there and said, then after a while, there's a grape forms and the juice of the grape, you know, and wine. And this fellow said, if you could produce a thing like that, couldn't you accelerate a little? Jesus Christ, who made all things and holds all things together, do you think it'd be any trouble for him to, if he can make wine in 10 years in a great mind, don't you think he could accelerate the law a little and fix it up? Why people talk so wise? They think they're so smart. And you know, that's what the Bible says. Thinking themselves to be wise, they become fools. The Bible's clear as day on every essential thing. You can't preach the word without preaching that man's a fallen creature. You can't preach the Word of God without saying that in Adam all died. You can't preach the Word of God without telling people they have to be born again. You can't preach the Word of God without reproving, rebuking, exhorting. That's what's in the Bible. Now, he's clear in the Bible. Now, don't just start with this first line, preach the Word. No, go on and do something else, too. Rebuke, reprove, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, what this country needs today is a balanced ministry. Now, wait a minute. Just a minute. We've been training executives to run churches. And we've got pretty good executives. They've built magnificent churches and cathedrals and set up organizations. Pretty good executives, a lot of these fellows. And we've got them all over this country. But you know the old time reproving, rebuking, exhorting, doctrinal preaching has gone out practically in America. And when a man comes along and begins to give it to the people, give it to them straight, people think, well, he's warped. And they say he doesn't love anybody. Is that so? Do you love your child when you refuse to rebuke him when he ought to be rebuked? When you refuse to reprove him when he ought to be reproved? When you refuse to exhort him to live right? Do you mean to tell me that's a sign of loving a child? Don't ever reprove him. Don't ever rebuke him. You just love him, you see. It's all crazy stuff. Do you know old-time orthodoxy, old-time Bible-believing Christianity is the most logical thing in the world? If man's a sinner, he's a sinner. And he ought to get right. Is any way to get right? Well, he can. Be born again. How? Bible says, as many received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. The Bible is clear, perfectly clear, on every fundamental, simple truth. And people are going to this Bible day and they're attacking those fundamentals, or they're ignoring them. You know, it's just about as bad to ignore an essential as it is to attack an essential. What's the difference? You might attack an essential sometimes and call attention to it. But you ignore it is sometimes more dangerous than it is to attack it, as far as the world's concerned. Now, all of us listening in today, I'm sitting here talking to you, and you know, men and women, the hours come when individual Christians who believe the Bible ought to stand together. Not organically. I don't mean all your churches swallowed up. But every individual Christian today should stand with every other individual Christian on the fundamentals of the faith, and we should fight for them and hold that line in the midst of the terrible conditions that we're facing today. We're going to have to leave something for our children and grandchildren to tie on to. You've got to get something to get hold of. All right? If the Bible isn't the Word of God, we haven't any Word. What am I to do as a preacher? Preach the Word. How? What else? Be instant in season, out of seasons. Just keep on. Don't get lax. What else? Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering in doctrine or teaching. Now, that's a clear command, but all that's tied in that together. It's not just preach the Word and stop. Somebody say, well, he preaches the Word. Does he? You don't preach the Word if you don't do what the Word tells you to do. What does the Word tell you to do? It tells you preachers to reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. If I don't believe in doctrinal preaching, then you don't believe in the Bible. There are fundamental doctrines that all Bible-believing Christians in the world accept. And this is fundamentals that are under attack today. And I want to say one other way hurriedly to you. I want you to remember this statement there. The men who are under attack today are the fundamental Bible-believing Christians. They're not attacking the liberals. They're not attacking the fellows that say you don't have to believe in the virgin birth. The attack today is on the fundamental Bible-believing Christians. All over this country where they've had supposedly great revivals, the fundamentalists, the Orthodox people, are left under attack and persecution all over America. And it's going worse and worse, and that's what the Bible says. Last days, perilous times shall come, and so forth and so on. Now, may God help us to see it. Now, you read this verse in the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, read that whole chapter through, and you make up your mind where you're going to stand. Our Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful to Thee, faithful to Thy Word. Forever Thy Word is settled in heaven. If we didn't have the Bible, we wouldn't know anything about Jesus. We wouldn't know He was virgin born. We wouldn't know He was God manifest in the flesh. We wouldn't know that His blood washes away our sins. We wouldn't know He rose from the dead. You gave us this book and made in this book a record, and it's forever settled in heaven. Help us to be true to Thy Word in this time of crisis and unrest. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., a man who went to his heavenly home after more than 70 years of influencing thousands with his compassion for souls and the Word of God. If you can't remember telephone numbers, grab a pencil and jot this one down. It's 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. When you call, tell us why you want to attend Bob Jones University, and we'll send you your own personal opportunity profile. Did you get the number? It's 1-800-BJ-AND-ME.